There is within us a terrible shortcoming about causes and consequence. And there is a natural tendency within us to see the consequences of our own actions, when they go wrong, those consequences, that is, as being caused by a vicious and jealous God, as we have in our first reading. It's not limited to the Old Testament. Just recently, as Cape Town faces the crisis of its water supply drying up due to many reasons, including climate change, political short-sightedness, and a lack of cooperation from the citizenry to conserve water, a spiritual leader in South Africa solemnly pronounced that God is angry with Cape Town, and that is why it is suffering drought. Now, why God would be more vengefully angry about Cape Town than what God is about Reykjavik or Moscow or Luanda, for that matter, I don't know. Those questions, of course, always remain unanswered when these accusations of God's wrath freely flow and quite admittedly make many of us just facepalm in sheer despair. What we have happening in today's first reading is the consequence of Solomon's lack of wisdom in many areas, a consequence that would split the nation. And it is seen that God is causing this as a form of punishment. It's a rather vindictive and narrow view of God, which can lead us to say that the Old Testament has the vindictive God and the New Testament has the loving God. But that, of course, is the heresy of Marcionism. What we have to realize in our own Catholic understanding of inspiration is that our human prejudices get in the way, and God patiently has to work over the hundreds of years of the development of Scripture to draw us into a deeper and more lasting insight of who God really is, and it's not the projection of our own vindictive jealousies and selfishness. The Gospel shows that so very, very clearly today. That when we read of the vindictive God of the Old Testament, it is merely the projection of people that has infiltrated the text. There are many other places where God is pleading with the people, is leading them to a deeper understanding of who he himself is and his plan of love and of growth for the people of God. But we cling to our image of the vindictive God who brings down the wrath of drought on a city which is, well, the city's go not too bad. Ask anybody who's visited Cape Town, they'd often want to come back. And not because it's a better place to sin in, but simply because of its natural and human beauty and its welcome and all the other graces that Cape Town boasts with. Jesus, in today's Gospel, leads us into a deeper understanding and challenges a whole number of our prejudices right here in the 21st century. Jesus takes the poor disabled person aside simply because what he is about to do is so open to misinterpretation, yet Mark records it for us very clearly. Firstly, we must note that Jesus is in the Decapolis, so he is among a minority of Jewish people. He is amongst the outsiders, the non-Jews, the Gentiles. And so, most probably, this is a Gentile person, a non-Jew, one of the uncircumcised, that Jesus draws aside because of his disability. And it is not about the disability. It is about Jesus' relationship to this individual who is a Gentile. The text in the Greek makes it quite clear that simultaneously Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears and places spittle on his tongue. Now, there's only one way you can do it. And if you picture it, of course, prejudices start springing up and all sorts of accusations and all sorts of questions about what Jesus is doing on the level of our own human discomfort. But what is he doing? What is he doing on the level of divine inspiration? What is he doing on the level of God dealing with humanity? He is touching, and he is drawing closer in an intimacy. Aspects of this remind of the Eucharist, which will be extended to the Gentiles, the hearing of the word of God, the putting of Jesus' fingers in the man's ears, and of course the nourishment of the body of Christ, the transfer of spittle in an intimate and direct way. That can be there as well. But fundamentally, it is this compassionate acceptance of the Gentile. This compassionate acceptance of the man in his disability. The compassion, the knowing that somebody cares this much, that they would be this intimate in bringing me solace. That also brings about the healing of the deaf and the dumb man. Jesus is doing this to a Gentile. Jesus is being intimate with somebody not of his own family circle. Jesus is being self-giving. Jesus is being healing. But the shock of the mental picture can often drive us away from that truth, and we worry about things like sexuality and all the rest. And this is simply an example of our baggage being imposed on that great act of compassion. Our consequences being brought down upon an area in which it is not appropriate. We see that interference of the human understanding in our first reading, the news of the division of the kingdom. We see it in our own shock as we have the mental image of Jesus undertaking this healing in such a direct and intimate way. And that can often lead us to rejecting the intimacy and the healing that Jesus offers each one of us, to draw us out of this childishness into a more loving, a more direct, and I dare say it, a more equal relationship with God, where we both are, we and God, adults, adults open to compassion, adults open to others and their experience, adults who break the boundaries of childish notions of nationalism and difference and foreignness and evil, to embrace the good that God pours into our human society, which makes the deaf hear and the dumb speak in glory and praise of God. Amen.